Okay, Shamra Bose, we are going to discuss Mechiras Chametz, but hopefully with an eye, we're going to do a bit of the lamdas of Mechiras Chametz, because it's important to understand how to do the Maisa of Mechira. You have to know the lamdas, as with a lot of things, specifically here. And then we'll go through some very practical points as far as Rabbanim are concerned dealing with Mechiras Chametz, and it might help you figure out how to do your own. Even when you're not Rabban, even when you're selling your own chametz, to do it in a more lechatchila way, or more convenient way. So we'll start with, first of all, I don't think I plan on speaking the full time. We're going to be a little shorter today, hopefully, but another. To understand the discussion, a lot of Mechiras Chametz is also dealing with Balabatim, who sort of laugh when they do Mechiras Chametz because they think it's a joke. So just to put things in context, Mechiras Chametz is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Pesachim. If you have your source number, if you have the sources, if you do have the sources, I would love if you could just access them on your computers, or if you have the sheets. So the Mishnah in Pesachim, Chafal Famed Aleph, tells us that you're allowed to, before the Zman Isser Chametz, you could do whatever you want with the Chametz, including Mochra Lenachri. So anyone says Mechiras Chametz is a new thing, it's not, it's a Mishnah. But they're really right, because the Mechiras Chametz that we know is very different than the Mechiras Chametz that's in the Mishnah, and I'll show you why and how in the next few minutes. There's a Tosafot in source number 2, Psachim Perek Beis Halachi Yud Beis, that talks about a very important story. And to understand the story, you have to have a perspective of traveling. Some of you took my father's class? Anyone took my father's class? Okay, so my father learned in Chevron. After he graduated YU, he went to learn in Chevron Yeshiva in 1955. And he told me that Moshe Sternbach, who's now the Gaivid, was one of the Iluyim in the Bachram. I don't know if he's just married in Chevron, now he's the Gaivid. So in 1955, my father went to Eretz Yisrael from YU. It took 3 weeks by boat. Okay, so we're not talking in the 1800s, we're talking in 1955. So imagine how long people would be on the boat. So let's assume people would be on a boat for 2 months and they'd have to take food with them. If they take food with them for two months, they have all their oatmeal packets, 2 months worth. What happens if Pesach's in the middle? They have to get rid of all their oatmeal packets. What are they going to eat after Pesach? They're going to starve to death. Right? So therefore, the Tosafta says the following, that if a Yid is traveling with a guy and he wants to be mocher his chametz to the guy, because he has to be. Look what the Tosefta says: Nosno b'matana, mocher or nosno b'matana, v'chozer v'lokech mimenu la'achar ha'pesach. Mefurish Tosefta that the mechiras chametz that we are presumably familiar with of getting it back from the guy was done from the time of the Tosefta. So we have a lot of years behind us. The problem is that there's a girsa in the Rishonim, the Girsa of the Baha'i Girsa of the in this Tosefta, that the last three words add on Uvilvad Shalo Ya'arim. You can't do Harama. So I want to talk about Harama for a minute, and also understand the Rishalav Rishachter. This quote from Rishalavetchik, that Rishalavetchik would tell his Balabatim. I think the Rabbi Brandon mentioned it. The Rishalavetchik would tell his Balabatim not to sell Chametz Gomer. Did Brandon mention that? Yeah? Okay, fine. So we won't. Basically, Harama is mutter. The reason was Harama is something that we are familiar with, but Harama is asr for Doraisis, but Harama is mutter for Darabanan. So if we figure out ways to make only Chametz only Darabanan, perhaps Harama is mutter. But either way, putting that aside, that's the reason why many people don't want to. That's the reason why. People don't want to sell Chametz Gomer, which might be more of an Issa Daraisa, and therefore Harama would not work. Putting that aside, so the Girsa and the various Rishonim in this Tosefta is a Vivad Shalo Yarim. Listen carefully to what Harama means. Says the Ritva, Harama means that you can't do it year after year. Meaning, what happens when you're on a boat? You happen to be punked this time of the year, for whatever reason, on some trip. So you found yourself on a boat and you had to sell chametz to the guy and buy it back afterwards. You had no choice. But you didn't plan on doing that, you didn't do that yearly, just was one time, a once in a lifetime situation, twice in a lifetime situation you found yourself in. So there, you're allowed to sell it and then buy it back afterwards. Well, the Vachel Yarim, you can't do it Keseder every year as though this is your plan, your yearly plan, your annual, Mechiras Chametz sale to the guy, and then get it back right afterwards. That's, so according to that Girsa of the Tosefta, our Mechiras Chametz is doomed from the start. Because that's Haram, we do it every year. So, fortunately, we don't, the Beis Yossi says, how could you say Uvavad Shlo Yarim is that you shouldn't do it? The Tosefta is telling you that you could go ahead and sell it and buy it. You could settle and buy it. The Tosefta sounds like it is okay. Don't tell me that it's it's Bidi Yavid. The Tosefta sounds like it's the Chathila. And therefore, the Beis Yosef doesn't paskin, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that version, that the Ritz's version, that Uvavad Shlo Yarim means you can't do it every year. So how does he understand? How does he understand the three words of Vashlo Yarim, you shouldn't do Arama, that you shouldn't sell your chametz with a t'nai. You can't sell your chametz with a t'nai, it can't be a matana, shalom manas lahach, you can't do it as matana manas lahach, zir, with some kind of t'nai. And that's how you'll see in the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, when he talks about mechiras chametz, he says, at the end of source number 6, Vashlo Yitnelim Atura Blaskening, like that girsa tosefta, that you can't do harama, but with a different taich in Vasmeitha. It's not a Rama, there's no problem selling it year after year, you're just not allowed to do it with a chisaron in the kinyan, a chisaron in the sale. Now, if we're in the Shulchan Aruch, and we want to know how the Shulchan Aruch understands what Mechiras Chametz will work, give me just 2 more minutes and I'll take a question. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the following Trumas Hadeshin. Trumas Hadeshin in Simon Kufchaf, on source number 7, is talking about a selling chametz, and how you're allowed to sell chametz. And you'll notice that the Trumas Hadeshin's words are, could you sell the chametz to a guy, shemichutz lebeiso? And then in another simon, kufyutes, one right before, the Trumas Hadeshin also speaks about a certain situation, a certain kind of, it sounds to me like roasted peanuts. You know they have like roasted peanuts? In like, but not roasted, like sugar roasted peanuts? But with a batter of some sort, some kind of roast. So the question that the Shnuas Hadesh is handling is that chametz or not? So he says, oh, you could sell it to a guy, chutz lebeiso. And the Shulchan Aruch gentleman paskins like this. So that means the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you're allowed to do mechiras chametz, chutz lebeiso. So that's not what we do. So the question is, our mechiras chametz is not selling to a guy, mechutz lebeiso. Can our mechiras chametz work? Should it work? And we're going to understand why. Why that Trumas Hadeshin and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it has to be chutz lebeiso. That model of selling chametz chutz lebeiso was the model that was in effect from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, or certainly the Mishnayos and the Tosefta, all the way until the 1500s, including the Shulchan Aruch. Shortly after the Mechaber passed on, the Bach tells us, if you want to see the Bach, source number 10, it's longer, I just cut out the main point in Bach Siman Tav Mem Ches. Tells us that Jews got into a business. Jews got into the business of schnapps. So all of a sudden, following the Shulchan Aruch became very difficult. Because the Shulchan Aruch said that the only kind of mechir that you have to do, that you can do, is sell to a guy michutz lebeiso. The problem is, if my business is 50 barrels of schnapps in my wine cellar, so that means I have to bring a crane and a pickup truck to move my 50 barrels of schnapps from my house to the guy's house to make it chutz lebeiso. That's where the whole new model of mechiras chametz started, the Bach tells us, at this point. Now, there's a very important line in this Bach, which I underlined, I'd love for you to see it, and I think it is something that is worthy to consider when you formulate your mechiras chametz sheets. The Bach says, and he speaks very strongly about it, that in order to facilitate, and we'll see why in 2 or 3 minutes, in order to facilitate getting the chametz out of your house, not out of your ownership, but out of your house, like the Shulchan Aruch requires you to mechutz lebeiso, you're going to rent the guy your wine cellar. So what did you effectively do? The Shulchan Aruch says it has to be mechutz lebeiso. It is mechutz lebeiso. Where is it? That's not called beiso anymore. That's the guy's beiso. My pantry cabinet is called the pantry cabinet. My kitchen cabinet is called the guy's kitchen cabinet. So what that accomplishes is that the guy is now, it's now the beiso of the guy. But we'll talk about that more very soon. But the Bach says a very important point. He says, if you're going to be renting your wine cellar to the guy, forget the chametz itself. If you're going to be renting the location where the chametz is located, how can you rent somebody a location if he doesn't have access? So therefore, says the Bach, Miu tzarech limsor legoi gam hamafteach dim lo kein lo samcha daiti degoi demechiruhu. And it sounds from the lashon of the Bach that it might even be ma'akev v'diyevet, because it's not a real mechira. Again, we're not talking about the chametz. We're talking about, since the way we sell our chametz nowadays by giving the guy the land or the property where the chametz is situated, if you don't have the guy, if the guy doesn't have a way to get in, there's no smichas das. What kind of renting land to him if you're not even going to give him access to the land? And therefore, this is a serious issue when you have people who are going to Florida, Eretz Yisrael, Portugal, Spain, and Los Angeles, wherever else they're going to be. They're leaving the town. They're renting their house or part of their house to the guy, as we'll discuss later. And their key is with them in different places. So what kind of renting a land to a guy is there if the key's not available? Therefore, on my shtar, I don't remember if I got it from Rabbi Willig, I think I probably got it from Rabbi Willig, there's a line on there, if you have there's two shtars that I have, which we'll also talk about, the early shtar, those who have you, the 13th, Mechira Yigimel, Mechira Yigimel with the blue line on top, not the red, the ones who have the red don't have the right one. So if you have the authorization form for 13th of Nisan, which is an early Mechira, that doesn't have it, that's the 14th of Nisan. So we have, the keys to my home can be found with so-and-so and so-and-so. That's to be mekayim this obligation of the Bach. As a matter of policy, just for practical purposes, I tell my Baal Bat that I will not be the holder of the keys, because otherwise they come to your office and all of a sudden say, oh, I have to leave my keys somewhere. Who's the first person who comes to mind? You, the rabbi. So you, the rabbi, will end up with 20 pairs of keys. So just say, you have to leave your keys somewhere, but it doesn't have to be with me. It shouldn't be with me. Don't take the keys. Yeah.
Could explicit permission by the non-Jew alleviate this concern? If he says, so that I want to buy the chametz, I don't care if I don't have access to it.
No, I'm not talking about the chametz. This Bach is not talking about the chametz. He's talking about that you're renting him the land, and I want to rent this basement from you, and I really don't want to get access to it.
So even his explicit permission.
Again, it's more of a smichas das. Again, the point here is not does it work or doesn't work. Is that if he's not serious about it, it's a chesaron in his das kenyan, and therefore we're worried that you don't have real das kenyan here. Will it work, bottom line, with a chalos bichal, if he says it, so dvarim shebelev enim dvarim. He says he doesn't care about it, so we follow what he says. Even though in his mind he really does care. So, yeah. No, because if it's pikach nefesh, so do whatever you need to do. Meaning, you know, the Tosefta is not telling you, you don't need a Tosefta to tell you that. If something's pikach nefesh, do what you need to do. You don't need a Tosefta to tell you how to do it. Tosefta is telling you, lechatchila, go ahead, and this is a model that you should follow. So to the guy, buy it back from him afterwards. Yeah.
Doesn't the Bach say you have to actually give, sorry, limbs on the guys to come out there, you have to actually give him the keys?
What's the point of that?
What's the point of giving him the keys?
They don't
have access to
them. Yeah, so you have to allow them to have access.
If I were renting it to him, then he would be able to ask
me
for the keys.
Yeah, but not if you're in Portugal.
The case of the Bach, he's leaving town.
Oh, you're saying it sounds like he's there and he still has to give us yourself like tech. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's a good point, yeah.
Notice that in 2016, when most homes have security systems.
Yes, I was wondering the same things. You're certainly not going to do security. So somebody in the neighborhood should have somebody. I always tell the cutoff that I tell people is somebody in the tri-state area should be able to get into the house. He should be able to get in touch with the person in the tri-state area who could get into the house. Somebody in the tri-state area should have the. Again, you could always call on Chol Hamoed and call to get the security code if you need. So as long as you can get them physically, there's a key in the tri-state area, and somebody is going to be able to, with phones that they didn't have then, to get the security code. That should be enough, I think. Fine. Let's talk about that. That was just history. We finished the history part. Let's talk about the kinyanim. So the issue with mechiras chametz, the reason why it's complicated, is for one very specific reason, and that's the pasuk in Vayikra Chafhei, pasuk Yudalit, which is the source for kinyan of metaltalin. Zok the pasuk in source number 11, v'chisimkru mimkar la'amisecha. La'amisecha means to your fellow Jew. You can't own us mamon. You can't overcharge. Fine. So the Gemara has above Mitzvah Mem Zayin has Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlakish Malos Kono Ser Mashiach Kono. How do we paskin? Okay. So let's see like this. Let's not talk about going right now. Let's talk about Yiran right now. If there's
this will just make life easier for me. Rabbi Yochanan holds. We'll see why I'm doing this in a second. Rabbi Yochanan holds Malos Konos. Reish Lakish holds is only from a Talmud. Reish Lakish holds Mashiach's Kona. That means if you do Mashiach for Yochanan, you're not Kona Midaraisa. If you do Maos for Reish Lakish, it's not going to be Kona. And this pasuk is written by who? La'am Yisecha. So that means that for a guy who's not Am Yisachah, it's going to be the opposite. Because the pasuk says, when you're the way Rabbi Yochanan is the pasuk, when you buy metalta from a guy from Yisrael, then use Maos. That means for a guy, how are you going to be Kona?
Mashiach.
And according to Reish Lakish, the pasuk says, O Kono Miyad Am Yisachah, Dabar Nikno Miyad Yad, you hand it over. So how do you cut it from Israel only through Mashiach, which means for Goy is not through Mashiach, is going to be through Kesef. Maos, thank you. So since I'm telling, since I'm selling to a Goy, all I really care about right now is what the halacha for a Goy will be. Now if the halacha for the Goy will be Maos, life is going to be very easy. Because what are you going to do for Mechiras Chametz?
Transfer money.
He'll give you 20, he'll give you Shabbat Kruta, and he'll be Kona through Kinyan Kesef, and he'll get all the Chametz. The problem is, and this is the problem that all of the rest of the Shia will be based on,
do we paskin, do you need Mashiach? So, there's Machlokas, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Tam, if we talk a pask like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And therefore, what are you doing? You have a Machlokas, hopefully you paskin one way or the other. That's not what happens here. Unfortunately, that's not what happens here. So Rashi in Kiddushin says we pass like Reish Lakish that Maos is Konos, and therefore according to Rashi, Mechiras Chametz would be the easiest thing in the world. You go over to the guy, or the rabbi goes over to the guy gives him 3 cents or 5 cents per person, all the Chametz for all the Jews, wherever that Chametz is located. That's what Kinyan Kesef does. The problem is, Rabbeinu Tam in Tosis and Kiddushin Yudalit Amud Beis in source number 15, says that, hello, this is Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Who are we paskin like? We always pass like Rabbi Yochanan.
And therefore, Tosa says, you need to do Mashiach.
So, Allah Lamaisa, how do we pass him? Do we pass like Rashi? Or do we pass like Tosis? So, interestingly enough, look at Tosis in Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph in source number 16. Tosis in Avodah Zarah Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph tells a story. I mean, he doesn't tell a story. I'll tell you the story Rabbi Brendan mentioned in short. I'll tell you the full version. Rabbi Shech, there used to be the Yodin Yodin Kol, I'm sorry, the Kolel did not learn in the Beis Medrash, in the main Beis Medrash for afternoon Seder. They learned in the third floor of first hall Beis Medrash, which now is used by Mechina in the mornings. That's where the Kol used to learn the afternoon Seder. Right outside that third floor Beis Medrash is a phone booth. Phone booths were before people had cell phones. When people needed to reach Rabbi Shechter, who still doesn't have a cell phone, Baruch Hashem, they would call there, and somebody would pick up the phone and find Rabbi Shechter, and whatever urgent question, Rabbi Shechter would deal with them. So the phone call comes in one fine afternoon in the middle of the year, nothing to do with Pesach, from a fellow in probably Chicago who owns a dairy farm somewhere in the Midwest. And this is the Rav of this fellow. The Rav calls Rabbi Shechter and says that one of my balabatim's poros is pregnant and she's about to give birth, mazel tov, and she never had a baby before, and therefore it's going to be a shaila of Bechor Behema Tehora. So what's the halach for Bechor Behema Tehora? No, that's a chamar. What? You have to give it as a korban. We don't have a korban nowadays, unfortunately, so what do you have to do? You're actually a stayv. That's not so convenient. You have a dairy farm to have one, you know, you have to have like one cow in your dairy farm that's your actually tayiv. You have to take care of it, you have to provide for it, and just, you're not letting it be matil amon, because that's matil amon bekachem, I think, and then you're just going to let it wait till it just happens to, you know, to stub its toe and get itself a mum. It's going to be a miserable life. So therefore, the halacha is that the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara tells you, the Rishonim tell you, you're makna any chalik of the bechor, of the mother, to the guy, for example, a little piece of the ear. As long as the Gemara Brachor says that only an animal, a mother, that's 100% Yisrael, could give birth to a Vlad that is Kadosh B'Kedushas HaBechor. And therefore, if a guy has any Shutvas, even a Shutvas Masha, a Kolshu, in the Bechor, in the mother, then there's no longer a Kedushas HaBechor. So therefore, the rabbi called Rabbi Schechter and said, how am I supposed to be makna to a guy, the mother, or any other part of the mother. So Shechter responded, well, the same way as Mechiras Chametz. To which the rabbi responded, Rabbi Shechter, can you just remind me how to do that? So that's a little bit scary. So that's where this Shaila is going to come in. Why? What the Shaila is, Shaila that's discussed and shown in by Kedushas HaBechor. Kedushas HaBechor is metaltalin to a guy. And therefore it's identical to Mechiras Chametz. The same issues are at hand. Therefore, whatever the Rishonim are going to say, how makne my behema metaltalin to a guy for kedushas habechor, we will just apply that to mechiras chametz and we'll be fine. So, what do the Rishonim say? So, in Avodah Zarah, that Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph, Tosis says, you know, what we should do. We have machlokas Rashi Tosis, and therefore, what should I do? There's no psak. It's a machlokas, and therefore, we have to do both. To Safek in Din, what kinyan work to be makne metaltalin from Yisrael to a guy? Machlokas, and therefore I have to do both. So now this is where the problem starts. Buy a behema, the guy will give you some money, and just in case the other side is right, the guy will do a mashicha. When you sell your Wheaties or your Cheerios to the guy will give you money, and the guy will then do a mashicha, will lift up your Wheaties. But as the Bach pointed out, once it became unfeasible for a guy to lift up and do mashicha on all of your boxes of Wheaties, of your barrels of beer or schnapps in your basement, so all of a sudden we had to figure out what to do when maos we do, but mashicha is just unfeasible. And therefore, since mashicha is unfeasible, I'm left with a safek kinyan of my chametz to a guy. This is the starting point where all problems and the entire sugya, the Iker Sugya in Mechiras Chametz, comes in. How could I be makna the metaltalin, the chametz to a guy, if I do kasef grape, but I might also have to do mashicha, and that just can't happen. You can't have a guy come to every single house, lift up every single box of Cheerios, and every barrel of schnapps, and every bottle of Johnny Walker in every single house in either in my basement, or in, certainly, alachas kama v'kama, in the basement of the 100 people in my shul when I'm selling the chametz to him. So that's what we're going to have to figure out, what to do, and to substitute the kinyan mishka that is that is happening. So this same Tosis that says that you're going to do both, to sell the guy the behema, he says the following. Okay, I know what to do. What you should do is be makna. Let's say this is your house. Be makna to the guy your a room. And let him do, right, because in order to do Mashiach, you can't do Mashiach in Rosh Hashanah. You can't do Mashiach in Rosh Hashanah. So you know what you're going to do? You have to do Mashiach into like your own Rosh Hashanah. So it says, Tosfos, sell the guy a cheder in your house, right? You live right next to the farm, right next to the dairy farm. So sell him a room in your house or a stable. Now that he owns a room in your house, what should he do?
Bring the cow into the room.
Says Tosis, look at the end of source number 16. V'achar kach yimshecho v'kocham ha-behem al osa cheder. The guy should do a mishicha into the cheder that is now his. Rabosa, what's wrong with that line? Again, Tosis says, let the guy give him a room, rent a room to him in your house, right off the dairy farm. Then, now that he owns this this floor, this room, let the guy now do what? Meshicha. Because now he has a place to do the Meshicha into. What is Tosos going out of his way, twisting over backwards to tell you? That what doesn't work? If I tell you that you have a piece of thingy, you have a piece of land, now go ahead and make a kinyan. How would I say go ahead and make a kinyan? Now that you have a piece of land, go ahead and what? Much simpler. Much simpler. Kinyan chatzer. If he now owns this land, what has to happen? Who has to bring the cow in? Shouldn't matter. Anybody? Should it be through Mashiach? Who cares? Tosin is saying, now that he owns the land, you better have, now the guy could do a Mashiach, a Kinyan Mashiach into this chatzer that's his. Why do you have to say that? Tosin is almost saying Mefurish. It's practically Mefurish that he's saying, that's not going to work out chatzer. That's why you still have to pull the animal in, do a Mashiach. Why does he just say that, and as long as the animal somehow stands on that land, it's good. Why do you have to do a Mashiach? Tosin is saying explicitly, the chatzer doesn't work. That's why you have to get him a piece of land so that he can do Mashiach into it. Tosis holds, and we'll have to see why, that chatzer doesn't work. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that since we are trying to substitute something for Mashiach, Tosis says, I'll give you a way that you could figure out how to do a Mashiach, but not chatzer. Chatzer will not be sufficient. The question is, why chatzer won't work? Now, before we get into why chatzer won't work, which we'll talk about in just a minute, what we want to do, and this is one of the things that we will do when you sell your chametz, there are two stages to sell the chametz. When you meet the balabatim, they appoint you they write a shtar hashar, power of attorney, an authorization form, which is the one those of you have it in front of you. That's just power of attorney for you to do the kinyanim on their behalf. Then you meet separately with the guy, and you do all the kinyanim for each person. You do it one, you know, you'll do the kinyanim for your whole community all at once. Now, if it's complicated to get the guy, the behema or the chametz, to be makna that to him, so why is it any easier to be makna him the karka? You hear my question? If we say that it's complicated because he can't do mashicha, so why is karka going to be solve the problem of getting him, you know, why is that all of a sudden going to be easier? The answer is because to be makna karka, there's no machlokas. To be makna karka, it's very easy. All you have to do is, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, nothing to do with Pesach, Hilchas Mekach v'Memkar, in source number 19, Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Kuf Tzadi Dalid, talks about a guy being kona karka. The way you kona karka is shtar plus kesef. In other words, you write a shtar, he gives you some money, and he's kona the karka. And if you don't want to sell him the karka, you just want to rent in the karka, all he has to do is give you some kesef. So renting karka to a guy is as easy as pie. As easy as pie. He'll give you 50 cents, he now owns the karka. So, why was Tosus saying that kinyan chatzer won't work? Anyone have an idea why chatzer shouldn't work? Famous ktsos, famous, famous, famous ktsos. Why chatzer shouldn't work for a guy? I just gave you a hint. What? Why? Zakt. Look on the bottom of page 2, bottom of page 3, above Mitzvah, Daf Yudam and Beis, source number 22. How does Kinyan Chatzer work? Ma'ar Savar Chatzer Mishum Yad. Ma'ar Savar Chatzer Mishum Shlichos Yisrael Boy. Everybody agrees that if the person is standing next to the karka, then it could be Alt Yad. Otherwise, if the person is not standing next to his karka, how is Chatzer Kona Mitam Shlichos? Right? So Chatzer is Kona Mitam Shlichos. If that's the case, says the Ktzos, we know from Kiddushin, we all learned Kiddushin, now we know Ein Shlichus is a guy. Atem Gamatem, Rabbi Shlichachem Kamosem. Therefore, there's no Shlichus for a guy. This is so Geschmack. Chatzur Mitan Shlichus, a guy can't be a Shlich, a can't be involved in Shlichus. Therefore, a guy can't have Kinyan Chatzur, period. Says the Ktos, I don't know if he says it, that's why. Remember I asked you why his Tos was bending over backwards to not enable the guy to do the Kinyan Chatzur? And why he had to be give him that he gets the chad, he gets the room, and then he has to do mashicha, the behema, to be kind of the behema. Why doesn't he just do chadzer? This is the reason, because Tosus was bothered by the svar of this kitzos, that chadzer mitam shlichos, and chadzer mitam shlichos, goyim, are not in the parish of kinyan chadzer. So So therefore, we're going to lose out the opportunity for the guy to be kona kinyan chatzer. Yeah. What it does is that Mashiach cannot be done in Rishus HaRabim. Mashiach cannot be done in Rishus HaMocher either.
Okay.
So he has to have a location in which he could do his Mashiach. It could either be in a simta, but if you're in a gigantic dairy farm that's acres and acres, where there's no simtos, public simtos around, being into the street won't work because Rishus HaRabim, in the Rishus HaMocher won't work either. So he has to find somewhere to do it. So you give him a piece of land.
But according to the Ketzos, that Kenyan, does that have a Kenyan off the ground? Meaning when he's being
there was no Kenyan Chatzer.
So then
that's the point. There's
so
no Kenyan Chatzer.
So according to Ketzos, when he rents out that land, is it the goy's anyway?
The land you could rent to the goy. But right. For the Chatzer to now be Kona, mm-hmm. What's on top of it, that Tosos is saying doesn't work. Uh-huh. But Rabosai, even though I just gave you a Gishmak alumnus from the Ketzos, source number 25, if you want to look through it, based on the Chatzim Mishum Shlichos, which is in source 23 and 24, and Kiddushin, if, even though I'm saying that Chatzim shouldn't work because Chatzim Mishum Shlichos, the Rush, if you turn back to source number 17, Rush said, you know how you give your that mother behema, you makne the ear to the guy? You do a Kenyan Chatzir. So, the Rush holds that you do Kenyan Chatzir. The Chatzir does work. Tosos says it does work. The Rush says it does work. So because it does work, gentlemen, do you know what we do to fulfill the Shita of the Rush? When we do Mechiras Chametz, again, we're going to do our Maos. The Shita is not really feasible. We'll do a Kenyan Chatzer. So how do you do a Kenyan Chatzer for the Cheerios in your pantry? Very simply, we're going to rent the guy. We're going to rent our pantry shelf, which is Karka. We're going to rent our pantry shelf to the guy for a period of 8-9 days. Now that he owns the shelf, what could he thereby acquire? The Cheerios that are sitting on top of the shelf. The Johnny Walker that's sitting on top of the shelf. And that's going to be Kinyan Chatzer. Remember, Tosafot says that doesn't work. So therefore, if you look at your sheets, anyone who has the authorization form? Everyone have one? So if you look on the top, it says, I, the undersigned, am going to sell my chametz, and I underline the word and, to lease all places in which the chametz is owned by me is found. Why are we leasing the guy the places where the chametz is found, the pantry shelf where the Cheerios and the Johnny Walker are sitting, so that he could have a Kenyan Chatzer on that box of Cheerios on that Johnny Walker? Clear? Fine. So that's one more. So we'll do, to fill that up, we'll do Mouse, we'll do Chatzer, that would be for the Rush, not for Tosos. As explained by the Ketzos. Fine. So since Chatzer might not work, Mashiach, Mouse might not be enough because you have to do Mashiach. Chatzer, we just said, Tosos doesn't hold by, so we're going to move weiter. If Chatzer doesn't work, and the Ketzos says that Chatzer didn't work, and gave us that beautiful lumdus, so the Ketzos suggests, what's the magical Kenyan for which we should transfer our chametz to the guy? Use a Kenyan Agav. Kenyan Agav, what does the word Agav mean in English?
On the back of.
What's A prefix in Aramaic? On. What's Gav? Back, piggyback. What's the lungs of the Kenyan Agav? It piggybacks. The Kenyan of the metalpilin piggybacks on the Kenyan of the karka. In Hilchas Brachas, there's something called an Iker and a Tafel. Guess what? In Hilchas Kinyanim, there's something called a Kinyan, an Iker and a Tafel. Real estate is called real estate. Why is it called real estate? Because it's more real than metalpilin, which are less real. Because you can't do anything. You could have a nuclear bomb explode and the karka is still there. Your bilis on the karka is still there. Anything that was sitting on the karka, all the metalpilin are destroyed and are powder and mushroom clouding somewhere. And the karka is still there. That's called, why it's called real estate. And that's why karka is always the Iker, and metalton are always the tafel. Therefore, the kinyan that you make on the karka, on the Iker, will be chal on the metalton. Now, just to understand, we're going to talk about kinyan aga for a few minutes now. Just to understand why this is going to be so important, I want to show you how Mechiras Chametz was done in Prague. So who is the posek of Prague? The Nodeb Yehuda. Nodeb Yehuda's son wrote a Shas Tshuvas called the Shut Shivas Tzion. In the Shivas Tzion, there are a number of things that he quotes. I mean, he himself appears in some of the Shalas v'Tshuvas of Nodeh B'Yehuda, but here he quotes the exact lashon, the Nodeh B'Yehuda set down as a rule for Prague, what the process of Mechiras Chometz with the Yiddish words that you call the Goy, Mamish, Rabbi says this, and it gives you the whole sense in Yiddish, and then do this, and do this, and so look at what the Shivas Tzion says, quotes from his, just quotes this instruction sheet from his father, the Nodeh B'Yehuda. He says that the Hayose Tov Mubchar Shebidrachim, the optimal way Lahakanas Chometz Lein Yehudi is Agav HaCheder, Kikol Metalton Niknim Agav Karka, Bevadai Beli Shon Pikpok. The Nodeh B'Yehuda says that the main kinyan is this kinyan agav. It works 100%, as we suggest. Let's see how this is going to work. Before we do that, I have a very simple question. Where do we learn kinyan agav from? Devi Hayamim. Do you remember what the context is? I don't remember where. No, that's Chalipin. I'll get there soon. Did Agav also? I don't remember. Fine. So we call him a Taltan Agav the Chatzeros. Now, if it's in Divrei HaYamim, that means it's a kinyan that works Mide. Yeah, it's Divrei Kabbalah, and therefore it works Mide. Machlokas Rishonim. Machlokas Rishonim. There's all Machlokas Rambam and Ramban in general. Gigantic Machlokas in general. Whenever you see any new thing in Divrei, in Nevi'im, in Divrei Sofrim, does that mean, well, if Ein Rasha, in Navi Rasha the Chadesh, Shem Davram and Shemashalochi Desh Moshe Rabbeinu, so it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mechadesh. It's just being Megala through the Nevi'im are just informing you that this was around since Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore it's Doraisa. I don't remember who says what, the Rambam and the Ramban. The other Shita says that no, so you could have if you see it in the Nevi'im, so that means it's a Takkanah from the Nevi'im and it's Midrash Rabbanon. So it's Machlokas if Kinago is Midrash Rabbanon. So therefore we have a very fundamental question, Gishmak Alam Desha question. If we're going to be Makna Kinan Agav, the guys, well, I'm going to be Makna the Chometz of my Chometz to a guy through a Kinan Agav, that means I'm getting rid of my Issa Daraisa by Rabbi Yematzei through a kinyan that's only Mide Rabbanan. So this is a gigantic alumnus Shushaila, does a kinyan Rabbanan work to be makne things that are Daraisa? So you're all going to tell me, what? You just made the question worse. What does Hefker Beis and Hefker do? Hefker Beis and Hefker is Mide? So how did you answer the question? You said that Midrash Rabbanan, it works. We knew that was the whole question. If it only works Midrash Rabbanan, so how is it going to get rid of all your Rabbi Yematzei? You say, because I have a tool called Hefker Bez and Hefker. Oh, I understand what you're saying, though. You're saying a lot of the thing. Hefker Bez and Hefker itself is the same exact machlokas. Where do we know Hefker Bez and Hefker from? So it's machlokas, whether it's a pasuk in Chumash or it's a pasuk in the Nevi'im. If it's a pasuk in the Nevi'im, then what is its potency? What is its koach? The same machlokas Ramban that we just mentioned 30 seconds ago about Kinyan Agav is the same exact machlokas we've shown him by whether or not Hefker Bez and Hefker works with the Raisa Darabon. It's the same problem. So the question will be, it's only found in Nevi'im, and therefore, according to one sheet in the Gemara, it's only found in Nevi'im, and therefore it might only work Midrabanan. So what you mean to say, and you're saying along the Shavard, is that the Chachamim have the power to reassign ownership. Once its ownership is reassigned, then you own it even midaraisa. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, Rabbi said, somebody wants to marry, you meet a nice tzaddikas, and you want to marry her. So you get yourself a ring. Where are you going to get a ring from? So you're walking down the street, and you see a ring on the floor. I see a ring on the floor. You stand next to it, and you cone the ring through kinyan dalat amos. Kinyan dalat amos is a kinyan midrabanan, clearly. So now this ring is mine, Mikinin Dalat Amos. If I'm a Kaddish woman with this ring, and she's Mizan, is she going to get a Chiyuv Misa? Am I Mekudeshes to her Midoraisa? If I only own this ring Midrabanan, is she Mekudeshes to Midoraisa? Will she get Sreifa for Bas Kohen? Or is it Bas Kohen? That's what it's Sreifa. Would she get Sayif if she's Mizan? So everybody assumes, of course. course, just because you were koneh this midrabanan, once you koneh midrabanan, it's yours. That's what you said. It becomes yours. And once it becomes yours, of course, you could create something that's midaraisa. That's what almost everybody holds, except I think I was close to Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Milun quotes, I think it's Rabbeinu Yeruchim, if I remember correctly. He says, no. If you only own this ring midrabanan, you're only mikudeshes. She's only mikudeshes to your midrabanan. If that's what the Avnei Milum says in Hilchas Kiddushin, what's going to happen by us, by Chametz? You're going to use a kinyan midrabanan to get rid of your Chametz, so you have gotten rid of your Chametz successfully, midrabanan. And midaraisa, you still own your Chametz. So, therefore, we are in a bind. How is my kinyan agav, which the Noda Behuda told us is belishum pikpuk, this is definitely works. The Ketos also, after I told you his question, how he rejects Chatzar, because Chatzar is Mishum Shlichus, Goy doesn't have shlichas, so it must be the Ketos also assumes that you should use agav. So the Ketos is saying agav, the Behud is saying agav. It's the best kinyan, they say. No, and boshul pikpok. And yet, if agav is only going to be the rabbanon, okay, some hold this daraisa. If it's only going to be the rabbanon, though, according to those shittas that say kinyan the rabbanon is not ma'ol midaraisa, so I'm stuck. I'm not getting rid of my bailus, my bayirah, my bayimatsi daraisa. Yeah.
Does Kinyan Agav, does Matalan have to be on the Karka? Or
so that the Gemara talks about. The Gemara says that if you don't, that's called Tziburin. Do you need Tziburin?
Right.
So the answer is, if you say the word Agav, Agav Kni,
yeah,
then it doesn't have to be on the Karka. If you don't say the word Agav Kni, then it does have to be. Which is why you have to make sure that when you have your shtar that you're selling to the guy, not the shtar in front of you, the authorization form for the rabbi. But when you sit with your guy, you're going to have whatever form you're going to have. It has to say the word agav, kni, mm-hmm. Or you'll say the word. We're going to do a kinyan agav now.
So according to Tosos also doesn't bring this as a kinyan. He says he has to buy chutzner and he has to mashiach with the cow. Tosos could also use that kinyan as well.
Yeah. So you're saying Tosos might also not have. Right. That's also true. It might be muchach that Tosos mm-hmm. didn't know that agav works. Mm-hmm. But that's more common. The Ketos actually asks your question, mm-hmm. and I don't want to go into it because he says that's what Tosis might really be saying. So I don't want to go into that.
Okay.
I think he says that. Okay. But I want to tell you something very geschmack. This, I think, is the most geschmack point I'm going to say today. And that is as follows. You have a bagel and cream cheese. What bracha do you say on the cream cheese? Machlokas. You said what? And what you said? Right. So it's a machlokas. Do you say, is it hamotzi on the cream cheese, or is it no brach on the cream cheese? What are we asking? We're asking a very fundamental lamda shashayla, what's the nature of ikr and tafel? Is ikr and tafel, that ikr poter es ha tafel, does that mean, why, somebody spoke about this? Did somebody speak about this? No? Okay, fine. Is ikr poter es ha tafel, the ikr is poter the tafel, meaning ikr, the hamotzi makes it that the tafel just doesn't need anything. It's poter, meaning there's no chi of bracha on cream cheese. When you have lunch, you don't have to make a bracha on cream cheese, you only have to make a bracha on bread. And you're coming and saying, chas v'shalom, how can you eat without a bracha? It's that the hamotzi that you make on the bread, the hamotzi is chal on the cream cheese. Therefore, let's think for a second. This is going to be very geschmack. I think Rav Shimon says this. I looked for it for a very long time. I wasn't able to find it. But I think I remember seeing him say the following. On Shari Yosher. He says, when I do a kinyan agav, we translated agav 5 minutes ago as piggyback. Agav, on the back of, piggybacking on. You do a kinyan on the real estate, on the ikr, on the metal, on the karka. And the tafel is nikne agav, the tafel, the metaltlin are tafel to the karka, and they're nikne agav the karka. So wait a second. That means, let's say the agav in two ways. Is pshat that when I do a maisa kinin on the karka, what does agav do? It means that you don't need a brach on the cream cheese. You don't need a kinin on the tafel. You don't need a kinin on the metaltlin. Or, and listen to this, maybe the pshat in kinyan agav is when you're kone the karka, the chalos kinyan of the karka is chal on the metaltolin. Why would that be significant? Because what chalos kinyan are you making on karka? Kinyan mide? Araisa. We know how to be kone karka. We learn that from Pesukim all over the place with Goyim. Kesef, Shtar. So you can be makne the karka midaraisa to the Goy. And agav that, you're going to take a kinin daraisa and supplant that onto the metaltalin. So what kind of kinin does the chametz end up getting? Kinin daraisa. In other words, even if you say that kinin agav itself is drabanan, says the Shai Yosh, the way agav works in that it's a kinin of making the kinin on the Iker, which is going to pass the tafel. What that means is the chalos hakinin karka, that chalos kinin of the karka is chal on the metaltalin. And if you have the chalos kinin karka midoraisa, being chal on the metaltalin. And therefore, that will answer the question that we had: how could you have a kinin drabanan, kinin agav, which is all, might only be according to some sheets, only be drabanan to be mocked in the metaltalin? We just gave the answer because the chalos of the kinin that's happening for this chametz is taka. A daraisa deka chalos. It's the same kinin that was on the kark, which was daraisa. That same chalos will be chal on the tafel to the kark, which is the metaltalin, the chametz. And therefore, the chametz ends up with a kinin daraisa. Super geschmack. Yeah.
Again, it's only important to the kinin that said that when you make a bracha on the iker, it's covering the tafel.
That is correct.
So according to other thought, kinin agav will be.
So this might be the right thought, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, going back to Evan's question before, so bottom line, according to the Tosos, it sounds like again the Tosos would assume that Kinyan Agav would not work.
That's what he said. Tosos, yeah.
Did Tosos answer that question?
I think he did, but not for now. You could look at him. I don't know if I left it there. I'm closer. I cut it out when I cut and paste it. Okay. Let us if you want something very lumdish, there's an Evan HaAzel in source 27, 28, and 29 who talks about this topic, about the different chalos, says in a different way from the Shari Yosha that I just said. It's very, very lumdish, very geschmack, but I don't think we have to go into that. Let's go to one other question which is very important. And this is a question that I've gotten many times. When we're going to be makne, the guy, our chametz. So again, the sheikh is not going to be feasible, so we're going to do maas. We're going to do chatzit to fulfill the rush. We're also going to do agav. And as I mentioned before, in order to fulfill chatzit and agav, part of what we're going to need to do is not only sell the chametz to the guy, but also to rent a piece of land where the chametz is situated to the guy, or some piece of land to the guy. Now, that means, let's say I have an apartment here in the Heights, and my pantry, I have an apartment here in the Heights, and my pantry has my Johnny Walker, and my Glenlivet, and I'm going to be makne two things. I'll be maskir the pantry, and be makne the schnapps to the guy. But wait a second. Doesn't my contract say, all of you have YU contract says, that you will not sublet your apartment to anybody else? So if you say, whatever, no, but that means legally you don't have the bailus. That's what it says in the lease. That means legally you don't have the bailus to be makna part of your you can't sublease your apartment. And if that's the case, so how are you going to be able to do if you own your house, do whatever you want. But if you're a renter, a tenant, so how are you going to do chatzar or agav? How are you going to be makna the karka to the guy? You have no bailus in it to transfer it further to the next person, to the guy. So this question was also addressed by another Yehuda's son in Shiva Tzion, source number 30. He says something interesting. He says something which is what I remember Rabbi Willig, when we asked this question to Rabbi Willig, answered, you know what it means? If you ask the lawyers, the real estate lawyers, what does it mean in the contract when you have it, when you take out a real estate contract for a rental, and it says that you won't sublet it? It means that they don't want to have, crazy late night parties and people who are going to be, rip apart the property. So you put that in as a clause to protect for the landlord to protect his bailus and his, that the property should be protected. But it doesn't mean that somebody can't have, a chalas shein bailus in order to be kone, a bottle of Johnny Walker. That's mamish. That's what the real estate lawyers say about why you have this line in the in the lease. That's much what the Rabbi Yehuda's son said also, that when it says that you're not able to maskir to a nachri, something that you're only renting yourself, it just means that you can't give it to him to live in, but of course that lease would certainly allow you to sublet it just for transferring, in order to facilitate a transfer of chametz. But he says, if your landowner, and anyone who's in the apartments here, will have this halacha l'maisa, very geshmaka chumra, that we should start letting people know about. I've never seen anywhere, but it's in the first Shivas Tzion, son of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, if it's convenient, right? You live upstairs, and you're the tenant, you live on the second floor, and you're balabayas, your landlord lives downstairs. And you want to sell a corner of the house to the guy, rent the corner of the house to the guy to do your kiddush, an agav to the guy, and a chacha to the guy. So you know what you could do? Go downstairs, ask your landlord, I know that our lease says that I'm not supposed to sublet it, could you please be Michael? Could you allow me to sublet it? And he'll say, sure, you're just subletting it. Is he moving in? No. Okay, just subletting it so that he could be calling the Johnny Walker that's sitting there? Sure. That's what the Shiva Sion says would be proper to do. So that's going to be the chumrah of the week, that anybody who's in an apartment, all of you who are in 470, where I used to live, 475, 480, they're all owned by a Yid, and the Yid sits in 90 Laurel Hill in the management building, you know, the bottom apartment of the man on the corner of 186th mm-hmm. and Laurel Hill Terrace. There's like, you go down the steps and that's where the management office is. There's a guy in there, a Yid, from Yid named Mr. Sharon. Go to Mr. Sharon and say that I want to be machmir for this tzion. Do I have your rishus to sublet the pantry in the kitchen that I'm renting from you to the guy for the purpose of being machmir in the chametz? Chumrah of the week, yeah.
One person does
that. Yeah. I mean, you could ask. Could ask on everybody's behalf? Yeah. Yeah, you right. could ask. Could you please give rishus to the whole community to do this? And he could say yes, and then you could come. You know, send out a text message to, you know, a group, a WhatsApp to the whole whatever. They could send out a wise study that Mr. Sean is fine with everybody renting to the guy. That should be fine, yeah. Okay, I've never seen this chumrah anywhere. I'm just talking out what comes out from this Shiva Tzion. I have never saw anyone be machmir for this, but hey.
Does it make any difference as like my supposed that people sublet their apartments to other people? Like during the summer and stuff?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, that could mitigate the issues, yeah. Again, Mikra Dini says it's fine. Mikra Dini says it's fine. It just says, but if you could just ask anyway, so... Again, Chumrah of the Week. Now, let's move on to a very important Shaila, because for those of you who are not renting your own apartments, you're not married, you have the following Shaila. Let me tell you a story first. Story goes like this. The time of the Rashba, there was a fellow who got engaged, and he was very wealthy. And when he got engaged to his Kala, he gave her half of his wealth. Maybe that's why she became his Kala, for the money. Now that she got the money, somehow, I don't know whose fault it was, but the engagement breaks off. So what does he want? He wants his money back. What does she say? You already gave it to me. What are you talking about? It's already, you were mocking it to me. You remember that? You did the Kinyan Agav and you gave me half of your wealth, right? Like, because what Kinyan are you going to use? If you have a yacht, and if you have a Rabbi Flam, one of the Rabbanim, the previous Rav of the White Shul, told me that he would do Mechiras Chametz in the Five Towns, and a fellow comes in and writes down all of his properties, you know, his house, his summer home, his apartment in Florida, his apartment in Yerushalayim, and then he says, oy vey, I forgot where they parked the yacht. So, no problem, Kinyan Agav, right? Kinyan Agav, you don't, it could be anything, anywhere in the world, no problem. So this guy, this chassan to his kala, had all kinds of metal, all kinds of stuff, all over the whatever it was, and he was just marking a half of everything he owns to her with Kinyan Agav. So she says, I'm sorry you broke off the engagement, but it's mine already, there's nothing you could do. You want me to mark it back to you? No, I won't. So listen to this lamdashah chassan. Lamdashah ex-chassan says, I was marking it to you all of my metal, half of my metalton and half of my wealth through Kinyan Agav. But where do I live? My father's house. I don't own any land. I don't rent any land. And therefore, through what was I makna to you everything I own? Through Kinyan Agah, meaning I was makna to you a piece of land, and through that land, Agah of that property transfer, I makna to you all of my metatlin. I don't have any land to be makna to you. So, and all the stuff Agah of that, all the metatlin that are tough with that, couldn't have gone to you either. I don't own any land to be to do a Kinyan Agah. And therefore, the whole Kinyan was a farce. I never gave you anything in the first place. May I please have it back? That is a shah that just came to the Rashba. The Rashba says a very important quote, I guess a kula in Hilchas Agav. He says, in source number 31, first of all, you don't have to actually own the land to be able to give it to somebody else through which he could be called an Agav, in this case the guy. It's enough even to have land that you borrow. Okay, so what I'm saying right now is applicable to anybody in the dormitories. Anybody in the dormitories, you don't own land. Let's assume you're not even considered a socher because the dorm office could just flip you around from dorm to dorm to dorm whenever they're saying, oh, we're doing renovations on this dorm, we want you to go to the other building. We think that you'll do better with a different roommate, or you smuggled in a can of wine, a glass of wine on Purim, we can't have you in this dorm, we have to throw you somewhere else. So, you're not a baal, you're not a soch, you don't have any land. So how are you going to be sell chametz and do the kinyan chatzar and the kinyan aga, which is the ikar kinyan from mechiras chametz, if you don't have any land? Says the Rashba, look at this line, it's Maharshi Gevaldik line, 32. Says the Rashba, anybody who has a makam in the base medrash, shekol echad vecha miyachid la'asam makam yadua leishev in shul, if you have a makam in the base medrash, that's enough of a, I don't even want to say the word bailus. It's enough of a zechus to property, some pseudo bailus to property, that you could be give over that makom in the base medrash could be the karka through which you're going to be agav be makna the metaltalin. And therefore, even if you're a yeshiva bachar who is not married and who doesn't have an ownership of bailus and doesn't have a rental and dorm maybe doesn't even, even if someone doesn't have a dorm, they just sleep on the bench in the basement, they just sleep on the bench in the shul like in the olden days people who didn't have places to live would do. But if you have a makom in the base medrash, a makom in shul, this is where you sit, that itself would suffice, and therefore we just did something very significant. We just enabled yeshiva bachrim to sell their chametz. Because they do have their makom in the base medrash. What happens if you don't come to Seder? You can't have a Chiyas Chametz either. Okay, fine. That was Moser Seder for the day. Let's sort of finish up. So, that was Kinyan Agav. What else? Another Kinyan that we do is we're going to do Kinyan Chalipin. Of course, we'll do Kinyan Chalipin because we realize that each and every one of the previous Kinyanim are either unfeasible or have halachic issues. Chalipin, Rabosai, is very complicated. On one hand, Chalipin is great because it works like a charm anywhere and everywhere. But what's the pasuk which is the source for Chalipin? What? L'kayin kol davar, by Boaz, right? Does anyone know the beginning of that pasuk? Shalaf Yishnala, you know the beginning of that pasuk? Yeah? What? V'zoz hatudah b'Yisrael, source number 35. I'm sorry, v'zoz lefanim b'Yisrael. Notice the word that I underlined. Zos lefanim bi Yisrael. Ala gula v'ala tumura l'kayim kol davar shalaf Yishnala v'ala sarayim. Zos hatudah, once again underlined, bi Yisrael. Is it not clear as day that Kinyan Chalipin is a Kinyan for Israel? It's ever evident in the Pasuk itself that's the source for Kinyan Chalipin that this Kinyan might only work by a year. Therefore, you have to sell the Chametz to a guy, to Kinyan Chalipin. The Pasuk says twice, be Israel. What are you trying to do? Okay, we do it anyway because it's not so posh what I'm saying, even though one might think it's relatively as posh as could be. So we also do a Kinyan Chalipin. Now, Halach l'maisa, how do you do a kinyan chalipin? How do you do a kinyan chalipin? So, what happens at a chasan tish? At a chasan tish, the chasan is mishabed himself to the ksuva. All of the chiyuvim and the tosefes, the meyaz zikukim kesef for the ikur ksuva, and an old meyaz zikukim kesef for the tosefes ksuva, and he's mechayev himself how? So he picks up the pen. Whose pen?
The Masada's pen.
Yeah, the Masada's pen, or the Edom's pen, exactly. Now the question is, we know there's a machlokes by Chalip and Kel Shalkona or Kel Shalmakna. So let's assume right now that you need Kel Shalkona. So who's the Kona? Who's the beneficiary of that amount that the Chasson is being Mechayev himself? The Kala. So shouldn't you use the Kala's pen? The answer is yes, you should. But why don't we need to use the Kala's pen? She never pointed at me. Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. Of course, this is a chusfar. It's only to her benefit. And therefore, anybody's pen could be used because Zachin la'adam shalom b'fanav. So the Masada or the aid will use the pen and the chas will lift it up. Let's now transfer this. I'm going to sit with the guy. Bez Hashem, a few years, you'll sit with the guy. And you'll do Mechiras Chametz with this guy. And you're being makne the Chametz to the guy. So who's the Kona?
Guy.
The guy's the Kona. So whose handkerchief is going to have to be used? Well, stop for a second. If you're also Masada Kedushin, right? If you're the rabbi, so you're probably Masada Kedushin. You remember that last week when I did the wedding, I took out my yarmulke, my pen, whatever else it was, and I had him lift it up. Right? So one might mistakenly think to do the same thing here. The rabbi will take his pen and tell the guy, okay, lift it up, just like we did at the wedding. Says the Mishnah Brura, that ain't going to work. Because when does it work to be Zoche L'Adr Shalom B'Fanav? Only works for Yisrael. Zechi only works for Yisrael. And here, you're going to need him to use his own pen, so you're going to have the guy bring something, something with him. He can't come empty-handed, literally. He has to have something on his body, whether it's a handkerchief, a watch, a pen, something that he could do the chalip in, because it's not going to be like we buy by weddings. Here, the guy himself, because there's no zechiah for a guy. Anything else that I want to cover for today? One and a half more points. Besides Chalipin, which we just pointed out might also be a problem, we'll do one last kinyon, and I'll be Situmta. It's a gigantic machlokas rishon and what the word Situmta means. In fact, it's machlokas rishon and what the word Situmta is a kinyon at all. Because the Gemara talks that Situmta is a seal on a barrel of wine, and what would happen would be as follows. Let's say at the beginning of the season I have a winery, and it was very nice. The guy came to sell chametz this week, and he owns a winery, so he came with his own bottle of his own winery's wine. He owns a winery in Eretz Yisrael, so it's very geschmack. He's very excited about this because he was telling me all about the grapes and the okay, not for now. So if you have a winery and you have 50 barrels to sell. A guy comes in and says, okay, I'd like to buy, wine for the year. Like Jews buy wine before Pesach and before Purim, we buy wine for the year. Do your parents also have in the basement a box of wine that they bought out of Pesach and it's just less than the year? No, I'm the only one? Yeah, okay, fine, I'm not the only one. So, maybe because that's when the sales are. Okay, so he comes to you, he says, I want to buy wine and I'm going to buy it for, the next 12 months. So let me have 3 barrels and every 4 months I'll come pick up the next barrel. So what do? You make a mark on the top of the barrel. That's called a situmta. Machlokas Rishonim, whether that was just a mark to show that you plan on buying it in 4 months or in 8 months, or that it was actually the chalos kinyan. So according to the Rishonim, that's what was the kinyan of marking the top of a barrel? Which kinyan is that? It isn't a kinyan, which is the whole point of kinyan situmta. The whole point of kinyan situmta is that it's an industry-specific transaction. So in the same way the diamond market on 47th Street used to be owned by used to be run by Hasidic Shayidin. So what was the kinyan there? Mazel ubracha. Handshake, mazel ubracha, and the $3 million diamond deal. So you have a bunch of Indians and Pakistanis, mazel ubracha. And that was the mode of transaction. When you go to get a car lease, when you buy a car, I'm sorry, what's the kinyan that's chal according to American law? How do you become an owner of the car? What? Wrong. That's called a test drive. No. Yeah, you transfer the title. 100%. You transfer the title. It's not a kinyan shtar, by the way. It's not a kinyan shtar. You just transfer. You write their name and address on a piece of paper. Uh-huh. That's a kinyan. That's transferring the title. So in American law, in New York law, whatever it is, so it's America. You know, that's how it's done in America. So that would be kinyan situmta in the auto industry. If you do that with diamonds, it won't do anything. If you shake the guy, the auto salesman, and say mazel bracha, and the auto, you know. In the used auto car guy, that's not going to be calling a car. But each industry has its own specific kinyan, and that's kinyan drabanan clearly, and that's going to be kinyan situmta. As we pointed out, it might not, some rishonim hold, that's not even a kinyan. It's just marking what you plan to sell the guy, and therefore it definitely won't work. But our hope is that since we really needed to do mashicha, but we can't, it's unfeasible, hopefully the chotah, the agam, the chalipa, and the situmta, hopefully one of those might, hopefully, work, and that's how Mechiras Chametz works. To finish off, just as far as technically, I think it's obvious, but a lot of people are confused about it, therefore it's something that you have to know so you can tell your Baal HaBatim. It's not as funny as it sounds. The thing that the Baal HaBatim will ask you, I don't think Rabbi Brandon mentioned this, if I sold my Chametz, so where's my money? Right? Rabbi, if I'm selling the Chametz, I want the money. The answer is like this. When you sell the chametz to the guy on Erev Pesach in the morning, he gives you, let's say you sell him $1,000. He'll give you 25 cents. He now owes you what? $999.75. Okay. A lot of times you buy things and you buy it on credit. That's nothing wrong with buying things on credit. So you own it. Let's say you go to Macy's and you buy it with your credit card or your Macy's card. So when you buy that tie or those shoes, when do you own those shoes?
Right away.
A month and a half later when your credit card bill is due? No, the second you take it out of the store, you own it right away. That's your kinyan kesef. And the money that you're going to pay for is zakef alav b'milva, you'll owe you, it's an IOU, it's a debt. So here too, you do kinyan kesef, 25 cents, the $999.75 are zakef alav b'milva, it's an outstanding loan. When does he have to pay that money back? Sometime in the future, let's say Motzei Pesach, for example. So Motzei Pesach, he now has to come up with $999.75. So you go to the rabbi, you go to the guy and say, you owe my clients $9,990.75 to this one guy, plus another many thousands of dollars to the other people. So he could say one of two things. Sure, happily, and he'll write you a gigantic check. If not, he could pay you back in Shavik Kesef. What's a great example of a Shavik Kesef that he could pay the outstanding $999.75.
$999.75.
Exactly. He could just give you the chametz back as shavik kesef to pay the outstanding loan. Whose chametz is it? It's his chametz entirely. It's not your chametz. It's his chametz entirely. And he's just using that as a shavik kesef kekesef to pay the outstanding loan that he owes you for the kinyan gomer that he made on your chametz Erev Pesach. So if you present that to your Baal HaBatim, they might be more appreciative of... chametz, and we should all be zocha to get rid of our chametz, and we should be zocha to get rid of the Yetzirah from our midst, because the Yetzirah is chametz represented the Yetzirah, and we should be zocha to have a chakot shev v'sameach. And thank you all. If you could just pass the if you could pass this around and sign it on your way out, that'd be great. Mm-hmm.